get-go.
Just want to start today with a trigger warning disclaimer. This podcast contains descriptions of death and drowning. Hi, I'm Katie Carpenter.
I'm Terry Kovanitz.
We apologize for any and all mistakes today as we begin this episode of Titanic Transcripts.
Mr. Marconi, will you give the reporter your full name?
Guillermo Marconi.
State your place of residence, please.
London, England.
Your vocation?
Electrical engineer and chairman of the British Marconi Company.
As chairman of the British Marconi Company, have you men employed in wireless telegraphy?
Yes, a great number.
Do you have one of your employees on the Carpathia?
Yes, sir.
When she went to rescue the survivor of the Titanic, was there one?
Yes, sir.
What was his name?
I believe it is Cottam. I only met this man last night. I do not know how his name is spelled exactly. Cottam, I think he is here.
In the establishment of the wireless services on boats of that character, is it done under the direction of your company?
Yes, sir.
Is the operator responsible to your company?
He is responsible insofar as the commercial work goes, as to accounting for messages and the general conduction of a commercial telegraphic service.
From whom does he receive instructions as to his hours of labor and his general work in that capacity aboard ship?
From the captain, according to the exigencies of the service.
Have you any specific instructions that he is called upon to observe in the performance of his duty?
Yes. There are numerous instructions which are general rules and regulations for expediting the traffic and for preventing interference with other ships.
Can you state briefly what those instructions are?
They are, in the main, the same rules and regulations as are enacted by the International Convention on Wireless Telegraphy.
Known as the Berlin Treaty?
Known as the Berlin Treaty, to which Great Britain is a party.
The United States is not yet a party?
It is not yet effectively a party, as I understand.
The regulations of the International Convention are the basis of your regulations and instructions to your men?
Yes, absolutely.
On shipboard, must the operator take his instructions as to the hours of labor from the captain of the ship?
Yes.
Under these instructions, are you required to have more than one operator on a ship making a voyage of this character?
No. Well, it depends. If the ship is a large one, usually two operators are supplied.
Do you mean the supplying of two operators depends on the size of the ship or upon the character of the apparatus?
I mean, if it is a large ship like the Titanic, the Olympic, the Marinetta, the Lusitania, they always carry two operators, but the smaller ships of the class size of the Carpathia carry one.
When you refer to large or small ships, do you refer to the matter of tonnage or to the matter of passenger room?
Oh, I refer to the average number of passengers carried, the number carried or the number for whom accommodation is provided. We generally presume that a ship with larger passenger accommodations will carry a greater number of passengers.
Was any effort made, to your knowledge, to increase the number of operators on the Carpathia?
It was not considered necessary, and the ship owners did not consider it necessary, either so far as I am aware.
With what kind of wireless service or equipment is the Carpathia provided?
The Carpathia is provided with an equipment which I should call a short-distance equipment. It is an apparatus which can transmit messages, under favorable circumstances, up to about 180 or 200 miles. On the average, I should say the distance is more like 100 miles.
Does this depend upon the weather or the sea?
It depends on numerous circumstances. It depends on the state of space, not necessarily the apparent weather. It may be a very bad day, and still the messages may go all right. It also depends to a large extent on the skill of the operator.
As to the distance within which communication may be affected?
Yes. If he can adjust his transmitter to its best condition, approaching its greatest efficiency, he will affect communication at the greatest distance.
Referring to the equipment on the Carpathia, its maximum efficiency would be about 180 miles?
I should say perhaps 200.
200 miles?
Sometimes perhaps more, but on very rare occasions.
Do you know about the equipment of the Titanic?
Yes.
Was the Titanic equipped by your company?
The Titanic was equipped by my company.
I wish you would describe the wireless equipment of the Titanic, stating the character of the apparatus and how modern and powerful it was.
The wireless equipment on the Titanic was a fairly powerful set, capable, I should say, of communicating 400 or 500 miles during the daytime and much further during the nighttime.
How much further at nighttime?
Very often 1,000 miles. I should say almost every night 1,000 miles.
With accuracy?
With accuracy.
Would you say that the Titanic was equipped with the latest and best wireless apparatus?
Yes. I should say it was the latest apparatus for that purpose.
Did the company of which you are the president designate the operators for the Titanic?
Do you mean did it choose the operators for the Titanic?
Yes, or assign them?
They assign them generally in consultation with the shipping companies. They consult the shipping companies in regard to them.
What is the ordinary pay for a wireless telegrapher?
In England, on British ships, I think they commence about 30 shillings a week and then go up to over £2 per week. In addition to that, they get their board and lodging. I am speaking now subject to some error because it is some time since I have been directly connected with those matters. I have a managing director who would attend the question of salaries.
Your statement is correct as far as you have made it?
Yes, sir.
In America, what is the wage?
I am not sure of the exact wage paid in America. An official of the American company is present, and he would be able to give you an accurate reply.
How many operators were on the Titanic?
I believe there were 2.
Did they both survive, do you know?
No, sir. One was drowned and died. He was the chief operator, I am informed.
And the other?
And the other was picked up, I believe. He got on a raft, on a collapsible boat, and he was rescued by the Carpathia, having been wounded in his ankles or his legs.
At any time during Sunday last, were your offices here in communication with the Titanic?
I cannot answer that, but I can produce a person who can.
Have you been in communication with the Carpathia since the disaster to the Titanic?
I believe so. At least a great number of messages have come through from the Carpathia to my knowledge. I sent no message personally to the Carpathia, nor did I receive any.
Did your company?
My company has.
Your company has received no messages?
Yes, my company, I believe, has.
It has both sent and received messages?
I believe so. I have no personal knowledge, but I think they have.
Would you say, from what you know about the receipt of messages sent from and to the ship, that the wireless was working fairly well?
I believe it was working fairly well.
You believe it was in good order?
In good order, yes.
Where is the operator of the Titanic who survived?
The operator of the Titanic is on another Cunard boat, I believe at the dock, I think the Saxonia. He has been removed there, but he is unable to walk in consequence of the injury to his ankles.
Has he not been in the hospital?
No, I do not think he has.
What boat did you say he was on?
I think the Saxonia.
Do you know why he is on the Saxonia?
Because the Carpathia was to have sailed.
Today?
Today, and of course he did not belong to the Carpathia, he was just on board.
When does the Saxonia sail?
I do not know.
It is not the intention of this operator to return to England immediately, is it?
No, I don't think it is, and it is not my intention either that he should leave.
Have you any authority over him?
I have the authority that the president of a company has over one of his employees.
May I request you to have him remain and present himself to the committee as soon as agreeable?
Yes, sir. I shall be very glad to instruct him to that effect.
Where is the operator of the Carpathia?
The operator of the Carpathia was instructed to be here at 3:00.
Is he here?
I do not see him. We might have him called. Cottam is his name.
He is not here.
He went on board the ship to take his clothes off.
And will be back here?
He should be back here now.
I wish you would ask him to remain.
Yes, sir.
Still you.
Mr. Chairman, if you would allow me, I wish to say that the operator of the Carpathia, as well as the assistant operator of the Titanic, have been detained at the instruction of the officers of the company for the purpose of being at the service of this committee.
I understand that, Governor.
They will be detained as long as is necessary for this committee to hear them. With reference to the one from the Titanic, I doubt very much whether he can be removed from his present quarters without great inconvenience.
I understand, Governor. From the officers, that is their disposition. I understand, Governor, from the officers that is their disposition. But this being the president of the Marconi Company, I thought I would like to get into the record his affirmative promise that should be done.
Perhaps I should make one explanation. When I say I am the president of the Marconi Company, these operators are really in the employ of a subsidiary company of what we call the Marconi Company. But this company is controlled by the company of which I am the chairman.
But is it sufficient to say that you feel that you have influence enough to carry out the wishes of the committee?
Yes, sir.
I want to know if you can tell me from your own knowledge whether there was any general interference from the time this collision occurred at sea on the part of experimental or rival service to the detriment of this service.
I should say, if you will allow me, that I have only seen these operators for a few minutes, and not having been there, I cannot give a very definite answer to that question. They, no doubt, will be able to reply to it in fully, but insofar as my impression goes, it is that near New York there was some slight interference, but at a distance from New York, when the Carpathia was communicating with stations in Long Island and Nova Scotia, there was practically no interference.
Can you tell me how wide an area was communicated with from the Carpathia, generally speaking, considering, for instance, a wireless of the character you describe?
Yes.
And put them in communication with your office here? In the course of that message, how far from its original point of destination would a message of that kind extend?
Of course, the message, I should say, does not come direct to our office.
Well, to your...
It is taken on a coast station.
To your coast station, then?
Then it is sent on by wire to the office.
When I refer to your office, I meant the coast station.
The wireless message, or the waves of ships equipped in the way that the Carpathia is equipped, would affect a space which is that contained in a circle of the diameter of 300 or 400 miles. The radius of the station being 200 miles, it will affect a space of 200 miles all around. I am now talking about the maximum range.
Then interference would be quite possible.
Interference would be quite possible, assuming that interference stations or parties were using the same wavelength as the Carpathia. Fortunately, they use different wavelengths, and you cannot interfere while using different wavelengths.
What wavelengths would be required on such a communication as the Carpathia first made to your shore stations?
I should say they were using a 600-meter wave, which is one of the international convention waves. I have not the information in regard to that, but I assume it.
Is that the minimum of the international convention?
No, it is the longest.
I mean the maximum.
Yes, sir, the maximum. The shortest is 300.
And the minimum is 300?
Yes.
This was the maximum wavelength?
Yes.
Prescribed by the international convention?
Yes, sir.
Would the instrument of the Carpathia have been able to send a greater wavelength than 600?
I do not think so.
Did you hear the captain of the Carpathia testify?
I heard the end of his evidence, just the latter part.
Did you hear him say that they caught this message from the Titanic providentially?
I heard him say that.
That the operator was removing his shoes and about to retire?
Yes, sir. I also quite admit that it was providential.
And that in 5 minutes more communication would have been impossible?
It was absolutely providential. I agree with the captain.
If this operator is not at his post of duty, has the wireless message no signal to arouse him?
Not the way it is installed on most boats.
Did it have on this boat?
It had not, so far as I'm aware.
Did it have it on the Titanic?
I do not think so.
So that it is absolutely necessary that the operator should be at his post all the time in order to facilitate or give effect to communications from ships or coast stations?
Yes, sir. Or ships in distress, I should say.
Ships in distress and coast stations?
And coast stations, of course. If a coast station or ship calls another ship and the operator does not answer, he simply waits till later, till the operator is awake or until he has come back. I'm referring to the ordinary commercial communications.
Yes, but later in this instance would have probably meant that all the passengers and crew that were saved would have been lost.
Yes, sir, I quite admit that.
Do you recall any international regulations of the Berlin Convention or any provision relating to that matter?
I do not think there is any provision in regard to that matter.
Ought it not be incumbent upon ships at sea who have the wireless apparatus to have an operator always at his key?
I think it certainly should be. Of course, it might come hard on small ships. The ship owners will not like the expense of two men.
On the English basis of wage, it would not be very serious.
No, it would not be, but it is very much a matter that affects the ship owners. They do not like to carry two operators when they can get along with one.
On the Titanic, if you know, was there a constant relay?
You mean a constant lookout, like constant attention?
Yes.
Yes, there should be, and there was.
That was the purpose of having two operators?
That was the purpose of having two operators, and also for the purpose of handling the greater number of messages which come to a larger and more important ship.
Are those men of equal skill?
Usually there is one man in charge who is an experienced man, and the other man is also a telegraphist, but a junior man of less experience.
And less remuneration?
Yes, sir. I should, if you will allow me, to state that all the wireless telegraphists employed on a British ship have to get a license of competency from the English government, or they are not allowed to operate.
Does that go to their competency as operators?
I think it does.
Does it include their character as man?
Yes, sir.
And general fitness?
And general fitness.
Do you have much difficulty in supplying your stations with operators?
Sometimes we have. It takes some time to train them. We train them at a school of ours.
Do you have any regulations that touch the question of their habits?
They have to be subject to the discipline of the ship. They must obey the captain, as everyone aboard a ship has to do, and of course, they have to behave in a decent manner on shore. They must not discredit the service in any way.
I should like to ask whether, in your opinion, the amateur operators of wireless stations are calculated to minimize the effectiveness of practical work on land and sea.
I think it does effectively minimize or hamper the useful communications, because on occasion, like this I was told, I always want confirmation from a man who is there. But, if I remember correctly, I was told last night that a great number of unknown stations called up the captain for news.
Unknown stations?
Yes, sir. Of course, the ship would not reply except to the authorized station sending traffic. That causes interference and causes trouble. In England, of course, that is impossible because stations are not allowed to do that.
How long has wireless telegraphy been a practical science?
I think it has been a practical science since, you mean in regard to shipping?
In regard to shipping.
I should say since 1900. Of course, great improvements have been made since.
Who made the first successful experiment?
On ships?
Yes.
I think I did myself.
In what year?
1897.
Since that time, have you found it efficient in cases of similar character?
To that of the Titanic and Carpathia, yes. I am very glad to say that it has been of paramount utility in a great number of cases.
In what cases?
The most important, looking backward, was the collision which occurred between the Republic of the White Star Line and of the Florida near Nantucket, when assistance was summoned, and fortunately, in that case, practically everyone was saved. Other cases have occurred with other ships. I remember a light ship in the English Channel, which was run down over 10 years ago, which obtained assistance by the same means. And one of the Cunard liners got into trouble a long time ago, and summoned assistance by the same methods. Of course, the two important and sensational cases in which it has proved of utility have been the wreck of the Republic and this disaster to the Titanic.
Do you regard the Berlin Convention as a step in the direction of the international utility of wireless telegraphy?
I think in regard to shipping and shore stations, it is a good regulation. It is a means for regulating the working and preventing interference, provided, however, that it is administered in a fair manner by the governments concerned.
How many wireless stations are there now in the United States? Do you know?
I do not know exactly, but there is a fair number.
What is the maximum distance over which communications may be accurately made?
The longest distance I can recall is from Ireland to the Argentine Republic.
From where?
Ireland.
From what point?
Clifton, Ireland, to Buenos Aires.
In the Argentine Republic?
Yes, in the Argentine Republic. That is 6,000 miles.
Have you personal knowledge of the correctness of that?
I have personal knowledge because I was at the receiving end when the message was received.
You were at the receiving end?
I was in South America at Buenos Aires. My assistants were in Ireland.
What wavelength was used in that test?
A wavelength between 7,000 and 800 meters, 2,500 feet. 25,000 feet, excuse me.
In that test, was there any mountainous obstructions?
There was a part of the coast of Brazil intervening between the two.
And that is mountainous?
It is mountainous in that part.
Was the Californian equipped with wireless?
I do not know.
It was not equipped by you?
I could not say one way or the other. I should say that I travel about a great deal, and ships are equipped in England when I am not there.
Have you made any experiments in transoceanic service of that character?
Yes, sir. It is employed at present for transmitting messages between Canada and Ireland, a place called Glace Bay in Canada, and another place called Clifton in Ireland.
Is that assuming a practical phase?
That is on a practical and commercial basis, the distance being approximately 2,000 miles between the two points.
What wavelength is required?
The wavelength there is 7,000 meters.
When was that communication between Ireland and Buenos Aires?
That was in October 1910.
Is there any proficiency test prescribed by any special board in England?
Yes. The operators have to pass a proficiency test before the post office authorities, which control the telegraphs in England.
Is there any in this country?
I believe there is now.
How recently?
Since a law was passed compelling passenger-carrying vessels to carry a wireless telegraph apparatus.
About 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago.
There seems to be a distinction between commercial business and distress or emergency business, ship business. Why should that be so?
For this reason. The commercial business is paid for and accounted for between the ships and the shore stations and organizations working the telegraphs on land. While, of course, for a distress message and messages affecting the safety of ships, no charge is made, and it's not in itself commercial business.
The Berlin Convention, however, rather exalts the emergency phase of wireless telegraphy. Given to distress calls, the precedence over all other calls, does it not?
Yes, sir. It has copied us in that, because that was one of our provisions before there was any Berlin Convention.
It even takes precedence of government business, does it not?
Even of government business, yes.
Mr. Marconi, were any orders given by the Marconi Company to the operators or operator on the Carpathia with reference to the receipt and answer of messages?
None whatsoever.
Did you know anything about the effort of the President of the United States to communicate with the Carpathia?
Except what I have read in the newspapers.
But so far as you know, there was no disposition to censorize or control the operator of the Carpathia?
There was none whatever. And further, I was very much surprised at the things that were stated in the press, that a reply had been refused or had not been transmitted.
Do you know whether there was a reply refused?
Only from what I saw in the press. I might say that the operator, of course, can speak for himself, but I asked him that question last night when I boarded the Carpathia, and he told me that he never dreamed of refusing to reply to a message sent by the president.
I think that is all. We are very much obliged to you. Thank you. Well, I know a lot more about telegraphs now. Like, I did not know that they could travel so far.
I guess I never even really thought about it. But yeah, you'd have to have all those systems in place, and that's before, like, well, they are calling it wireless, but, you know, we think of wireless as phone and internet, so it is interesting to think about. And I didn't know telegraphy was a word.
Well, the senator thinks that is.
Way to cover, Mom. Just a note from the readers, we want to thank you guys for listening, and we really value your feedback, so please let us know what you're thinking, either in the comments or at titanictranscripts@gmail.com.